Open up this scripture to us today. Lord God, even as we see things that we thought were foundations crumbling, yet we yet have faith and forgiveness. And let us latch on to these things, Lord God, to know that we have a lasting foundation in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pastor said we are in Mark 11, 22 through 12, 12. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it's page 1008. This is the word of the Lord. And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say from man?" They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get them from them some of the fruits of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away.
So I want you to see today that this early discourse that Jesus has with the disciples is had with the fig tree that has withered and being cast out, root, ball, and all, lying at the feet of Jesus and the disciples. Do you see it? Do you see the withered fig tree? It's right there on the ground. That withered fig tree had represented a withered temple system. Later, when the Sadducees asked, "By what authority do you do these things?" the things they're referring to is the cleansing of the temple that he had just done. And so the withered fig tree becomes a symbol and parallel of a withered and mercantile temple system. And the disciples are wondering, where is our foundation going to be if that withered system of worship that they'd always had and known since the days of Solomon? You have to understand, Solomon's about 1000 B.C., so for about 1,000 years, minus the 70-year Babylonian captivity and the time it took them to come back and Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, minus that short respite of a time where they didn't have a temple, the temple was where you worship God. The foundation of the disciples, as they had known the approach to God, had been that temple in Jerusalem. And now it is seen as a withered fig tree. So where's the foundation of your life? Where's the solidness of your life if everything you thought you knew has been taken from you? You see, the Lord Jesus had come, and He was the real. The real that those former shadows had only pointed to. And He was soon to replace that shriveled tree of a temple with the real sacrifice that is rightly pictured in what we have observed today. The broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the real foundation of which that the temple rites had only once pictured. Remember when Jesus has this conversation with the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4? And they had talked about a lot of different topics, but one thing she had asked Him was, where should we worship? She's asking, whose religion is the right religion? Should we worship in Samaria or in Jerusalem? Now, I'll tell you, had Jesus answered like many of the other rabbis in His day, He would have said, woman, you should worship in Jerusalem. You know, a lot of what Jesus said really is not all that different than what other rabbis of the day would have taught. Jesus' message about love and justice would have been very similar to what rabbis of His day would have said. But here Jesus says something very different. He says, woman, I tell you, the answer is neither. Neither in Samaria nor in Jerusalem, but God is looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let me ask you the question. What do you do when your very culture, the very foundation of what you thought you knew, seems to betray you? When everything you thought you knew, when if you grew up in a generation like I did, that associated patriotism with Christianity, the two were kissing cousins and they seemed to walk happily together. When you wake up in a nation that seems to betray the very premise of a Christian worldview, where is your foundation when it's shaken to the core? What do you have left? The answer today in today's message is you have faith and you have forgiveness. Verses 22 through 24 are going to deal with faith. Remember, Jesus tells them, have faith in God. Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus had dismissed formerly blind Bartimaeus. And He told him, your faith has made you whole. And now He is telling His disciples, you need to have faith, because that withered fig tree is like a withered temple system, and I'll let you make any parallel conclusions to our own day and our own culture that the Spirit would have you make today. We are living in a culture that seems to defy every principle of the Christian religion. And you might ask yourself this question, what am I going to stand on when everything I thought I could trust about the leaders that we have seems to be upside down, inside out? Where do I trust? You still have faith. It was very difficult for the disciples to perceive of worship and communion with God without that temple. But Jesus tells them to have faith in God. When everything you thought you had was stable seems to crumble around you, I tell you, have faith in God. Now Jesus speaks about speaking to a mountain and having it rush into the sea. And that's about having boldness in prayer. This is something that we as Christians should never shy away from. Friends, when it seems to be that the foundations are crumbling all around you, and that wrong is elevated, and licentiousness is heralded, and wickedness is told to you to be the wisdom of the day, what do you have? You still have boldness in prayer. You can still speak to the mountain and tell it to go into the sea, and it shall be done for you. Now, let me tell you what this does not mean. It does not mean I can ask for anything I want and I'll get it. If that were so, James and John, when they asked for earthly glory to be seated on Jesus' right hand and left hand, they would have been told, sure thing. But instead, they were rebuked. You don't even know what you're asking. So praying boldly does not mean asking for anything our flesh should desire, but in accordance to God's will. I can tell you when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and when the church was so apostate that they sold forgiveness in the form of indulgences, when the bulk of the Lutheran churches signed treaties with peace with Adolf Hitler, you ask yourself, when the whole nation and the very institution, which was to support and preach God's truth, when it all seems to betray me, what do I have left? You have faith in God. Friends, the culture is slipping. The very things that we thought we knew are upside down. And so I tell you, have faith in God. From Matthew 7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, the door will be open to him. Friend, do you want your nation back? Do you want your churches back? Do you want it to all be a praise to the God who gave these institutions? For governments of men are not from men. They are from Almighty God, though they serve men. If you want these things back, friend, you must pray in faith. The temple, it had been that location for faith. For behind the veil, once a year, the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and the invisible God, who was, as it were, who sat upon the Ark of the Covenant upon the mercy seat, that's where Jehovah was. And that's where faith was. But Jesus was comparing it to a withered fig tree. It's had its run, and now it's over. And now a new day and a new authority has emerged, an authority that is based upon faith and forgiveness. Well, the second thing is forgiveness. For those who may not wish to yield, listen to the very plain words of Jesus. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So far, so good, right? Here's the catcher. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's not ambiguous. That might be a tough pill for some of you to swallow, but you can't say, I'm not sure what he meant. Sure you are. You have basic English reading comprehension skills. You know what that means. It means what he says. If you do, he will. If you don't, he won't. So what do? If you have a grudge in your heart, and I imagine, if I were in a group of people above the number of five, at least one of you would have a grudge in your heart. What do? You say, Lord God, I've been holding on to something that's like a weight weighing me down in an ocean. I'm trying to swim through life, and I've got this weight on me, O Lord. And I'm asking you to do what I so far have not been able to do. I'm asking you to take it. What does it say? If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. Some of you have been carrying around an unforgiving heart for too long. And I'm telling you good news today. You don't have to do it one day longer. You can ask. And if you ask, it'll be taken from you. Forgiveness needs to be the hallmark of the Christian church, because when the unbelieving, unforgiving, unrelenting world looks upon a church that forgives, you know what they say? They say there must be something real about the doctrine that these people say they have. And so forgiveness along with faith become the most powerful forces on earth. Forgiveness has the power to make the vile scoffer a penitent believer. It's hard to argue with a forgiving spirit and say they don't have anything real. Well, the scene in verse 27 is going to switch from the literal fig tree that lies on the ground to the figurative fig tree that is withered, that is the temple. Verse 27, we're back in the temple. And as shocked as the disciples had been at the shriveled fig tree on the ground, the Sadducees are now shocked to see Jesus back in the temple where he had cleansed it, and they have one question. Who gave you this authority to do these things? Now again, as I told you, these things are the earlier upsetting of the money table changers that he had done earlier in the chapter. The priests, the Sadducees, they had long so since been in office of regulating the temple that they considered the temple their spot. This is where we operate. And who are you, some upstart rabbi, 30-some-odd years of age, coming into our spot and upsetting things that you have done? So they ask him, who gave you this authority? Now Jesus is going to respond with his own question. He's ultimately asking them where their authority comes from. He turns them now to John the Baptist. Did he get his authority from heaven, i.e. God, or did he get it from men? And if he got it from men, by the way, the insinuation is it was a feigned authority, for there is no real authority that comes from men. So they know now they're stuck. If we say, well, John's authority was from God, he will say, why didn't you believe him then? But if we say that his authority was from men, we'll be unpopular with the people. And the whole point of asking Jesus this question about where his authority came from is to gain popular opinion from the people. So either way, they are stuck. So what do? They feigned ignorance. They say, we don't know where he got this authority. You know what they're revealing? They're revealing that they have no authority. You know why? Because the person who has no authority is afraid to answer tough questions. But if you have authority from the Almighty, you are afraid of nothing. And that's who the Lord Christ is. The Lord Christ has authority from his Father. He had no fear in how he answers them. And so the irony is, the Sadducees, in their non-answer, are revealing that they had no authority. Now, with a great bite of sarcasm, Christ speaks a parable directed at the Sadducees. Now, last time I was here, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a reading from Isaiah 5. And God is pictured as a husbandman, and he owns a vineyard, and he comes looking for fruit on the vine. He doesn't find any good grapes, he finds wild grapes. And he winds up cursing the vineyard. Remember that? Well, we saw something very similar in our text last time. Jesus comes looking for fruit, this time on a fig tree. He finds no fruit. He goes in the temple. Did he find fruit? No, he found a mercantile system that had made his father's house that was meant to be a house of prayer, instead a den of robbers. So Jesus, like Isaiah 5, is looking for fruit. He finds no fruit. He curses the thing that was to have brought about the fruit. Well, now he tells a very similar parable. There's an owner of a vineyard, and he has leased out his vineyard to tenants, and they're supposed to pay fruits from the vineyard. He sends servants. Now, these servants would have been the prophets, all ending at John the Baptist. He sends these prophets to the tenants of the vineyard, which would have been the Sadducees who held the oversight of the temple. They should have been rendering back to God, the owner of the vineyard, they should have been rendering back to God the praise of the vineyard, the nation of Israel. But they're not. They're keeping it for themselves. And when the prophets come, some they beat and some they kill. And then the owner of the vineyard, who is God, sends his only beloved son, who is obviously Jesus Christ. And what do they do to him? But they kill him. Then Jesus is finally going to answer the question that they had originally asked. Where did you get this authority? And he tells them, he asks them, what do you think he's going to do to those owners of that vineyard? And if you read the parallel account from Matthew, if you read Mark's gospel, it sounds like Jesus gives his own answer in the parable. But I think rather the line actually comes from his hearers and not from Jesus. I'll give emphasis as I read from Matthew 21. This is the parallel account. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these husbandmen? They say unto him, that's the Sadducees, they say, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. And so what's funny is they become the pronouncers of their own destruction. They name themselves as the wicked men who are soon to be destroyed. Now Christ will leave the parable, and he will turn to words again from Psalm 118. Now, we've seen one Psalm 118 recently. When Jesus rode down from the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley up into the temple on the donkey, and the people are saying, Hail, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're calling him the Son of David. Jesus here again quotes from that same psalm. The stone which the builders refused, that's the killing of the son who had come to the vineyard. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. They killed the Lord of glory. They cast out the chief cornerstone. When the beloved son, the owner of the vineyard, comes to collect the praise of the vineyard, they kill him and throw him out, and they think that they will become the sole heirs of the vineyard. That's not what happens. As strange as this is, the psalmist says, this is marvelous in our eyes. How can it be marvelous that the only begotten Son of God should be cast out from his people, killed by his people, all scouring of his people? Well, the word marvelous in our English is close to the idea of beautiful and yet a puzzle. It is what we call an enigma. It is strange to think that this is God's doing, that God should send his only begotten Son into the world to be hated of his own people, cast off as a rejected chief cornerstone, and ultimately be killed. This is a puzzle. It is an enigma, but friends, it is your salvation. When Holy Christ goes up Mount Calvary and lays down his life for the sins of the people, it is a horrible and yet beautiful thing. Well, we began today with the symbol of the temple, that withered fig tree at Christ's feet, as he spoke powerfully of faith and forgiveness. And we end today as Christ is in the figurative withered fig tree, that temple. And he's saying that this system is now over because the real has come. Friends, when the very culture you have depended on seems to betray you at every point, you still have faith and forgiveness because God the Father has built a firm foundation on the very stone the builders refused. Let's pray together. Lord God, I am so thankful that you have overruled all the awful notions of mankind who sought to build a foundation other than on Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to be people of faith and forgiveness. We want to be sturdy people who have something upon which to stand. And we give you praise that we find it in the person of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.